I often wonder, as I've said to you before, the ancient gathering to put the lectionary together. Who chose these two passages to go together? Who said this would be a good idea? The Romans passage discussing loving your neighbor, above all else, loving your neighbor. And then the Matthew passage giving us a step-by-step instruction of how to tell someone that they've sinned against you. So while they may seem like they don't go real well together, they do. Many a church has used this passage, this Matthew passage, to rid itself of, shall we say, the riffraff. And if I'm honest, I would say that this is just not a passage that I like at all. I really was not even excited to read it today as part of our worship time. And I guess that's probably not a very popular thing to say about any scripture, but this one is a hard one. And if we're honest, we probably have all seen people use this verse at some time or another to just be plain mean. We hear it quoted far too often when someone is just sick and tired of someone else's behavior. Well, the Bible says go to them and tell them. So the question that I have about this scripture is, what does it mean for another person to sin against me? Not make me mad or hurt my feelings or break relationship with me, but what does it mean to sin against me? Break one of the commandments towards me? I don't really know that I understand that phrase. I understand sinning against God, but against another person. What does that mean? So I guess if we look at Paul's definition of the church, we know that Paul sees the church as the body of Christ, so that one part of the body cannot say to another part of the body, I have no need for you. So if we take that, we're expected to be in this together. No one expects us to agree on everything. I think the one thing that this scripture does do for us is to spell out that we're going to have conflicts with one another. It's going to happen. We're all different. We all have different ideas. We all have different places that we are in our lives. We're all going to disagree at times. It's how we handle that that matters. We had a woman in Oklahoma when I was there. She had just retired as a state employee and had worked overseeing a big staff. And so after her retirement, she volunteered to be our lead person on a habitat build at our church. About halfway through the project, she came to me and said, Cheryl, how do you do it? Working with church people is hard. I said, Alice, what do you mean? And she said, I work with people all the time, but it's hard. They have so many opinions, and I can't make everyone happy. This is church. We're all supposed to be nice. And I said to Alice, we're all still people. We're all still people. We all still face conflict. We don't need to hide from it. Pretend that we all agree all the time. Meanwhile, it eats away at us. I think this scripture today tells us that we're to address things straight out. in the light of day, bringing things out of that darkness into the light is not always easy, is it? Actually, I think I could go so far as to say it's always difficult. We certainly have faced issues here at Highland Park over the last 64 years that have been very difficult. Some have caused members to leave. Some have caused people to come. Some have caused pastors to leave. Some have caused hurt feelings. It really is the nature of people joining together. We have that human side that we want things our own way. And when it doesn't go our way, we tend to rather be around people who agree with us. But I think part of what this Matthew passage today is trying to tell us is that loving one another, especially in the context of church and community, means that we have to accept the fact that we have to reconcile with one another over and over and over and over. That's just part of what being church means. We aren't going to agree. We are going to have to talk about things. We are going to have to listen to one another. We are going to have to sometimes try and convince people of our way. That's a human trait. And yes, sometimes it means we're going to get cross with each other. But being willing to be together in this for the long haul means that we have to bring our differences into the light, be in the open, not talk about them in the dark corners or in little groups, but in the light of day. Then we read the Romans scripture. I think it's important to realize that Paul was inside the Jewish law. We really like to feel that the law is one thing and the new covenant of love is another, and we really don't have to worry about them together. We really want to say Jesus put more emphasis on love, so we don't need to worry about the law. And I'm not sure I can agree with that. And while I don't consider myself to be legalistic, I don't really think it's an either or, but it's really a both and. There's a famous story in the Talmud that tells about a Gentile who wanted to convert to Judaism. And he went to the rabbi and he said, "I want to convert to Judaism, and I will if you will tell me the entire Torah while standing on one foot." First, he went to Shammai, who was insulted by this ridiculous request, and he threw him out of his house. But the man did not give up, and he went to Hillel, this gentle sage who accepted the challenge. And he said this, "What is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. That is the whole Torah. The rest is the explanation of this. Go and study it." My rabbi friend translated it this way: love your neighbor. Everything else is commentary. Go study. I love that. The law tells us how to love each other the best way that we can. Don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't covet. The more we learn, the more we grow in the law, the easier it is to love as Christ loved. So bring that back to the Matthew scripture. Where does loving each other and the law and calling people out into the light when they're wrong, how does that all fit together as church? Man, don't I wish I had the answer to that. If I did, I'd write a book. But what I can tell you that I have gleaned from these scriptures is that we talk about being community all the time. We say it's what we want. But we rarely admit just how hard it is to be community. Because we're all sinners. We hurt each other from time to time. And it takes work to be community. It doesn't happen on its own. And a lot of times we just don't have the energy to do the work. When we hurt each other, we need to be open and loving enough to say, "That really hurts. Can we talk about that?" When that doesn't work, sometimes we need to ask some friends to sit down with us. But if we are going to be church, if we are going to be the reflection of Christ in this world, we need to be able to do just that, have conversation. One of my favorite times in this church happened just a few months ago when we had a hard conversation about our name. And as we sat down on a Wednesday night and we sat down again on a Sunday morning, person after person stood up to tell what they felt. And over we heard, "This is what I think, but it won't change how I feel about this church. This will still be my church." And some people stood up with one thing on their mind and some stood up with another. But person after person said, "But this is my church and this will be my church." I think what this scripture means to me is that we agree to be in this together. Not unlike a marriage. This is my church. I'm going to love people here, and I'm going to trust people here, and I'm going to trust that they love me right back. And I'm going to do my best to keep God's love out in the light instead of the darkness.